If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. We're looking at Isaiah, who was a prophet during the time of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and Judah had both bad and good kings. The father of Isaiah was Ahaz. Ahaz was not a good king, and it says and records concerning that Ahaz did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. He even sacrificed his son according to the abominations of the heathen. Isn't it amazing that King Hezekiah, he was one of his sons, escaped, and that he was able to be the king in Judah after all. And Hezekiah became the next king of Judah. In 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 3, that says that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. King Hezekiah was probably the best king outside of King David. And so we find here that it was amazing that King Hezekiah comes. But where we find our text today, I believe, is that God had spoken to Isaiah and he said, I want you to comfort my people. And so Isaiah is writing here in Isaiah chapter 41, but he's in a very precarious position. The world's greatest empire at that time, Assyria, had surrounded Jerusalem and was about ready to take on Jerusalem. And they had 185,000 soldiers. And they sent this messenger to tell King Hezekiah and the men on the wall, you better surrender before it's too late or you won't be here. And they said, the reason we know is that our gods are better than your God. That was a big mistake on their part, because they were talking about the living God, not the idols of Assyria. And so that's the background of what we're going to be reading here this morning in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 14. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as nothing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into this word of yours today that Isaiah wrote so long ago, that we might have our hearts comforted and encouraged in a world that is living in turmoil today. Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign God who controls all things, and that you have also commanded us not to fear. And Father, we thank you that you've given us great reasons why that we should not fear. And so, Lord, we pray that that might undergird our souls today. We do pray that you might continue to be with Madison. Father, I pray that you'd give the doctors great wisdom as they continue to treat her. And we pray that if it would be your will, that you would just raise this young lady up and that you would comfort her parents. And Father, that you would give grace to them as well as they stand by. Give them your peace in their hearts. And Father, we just pray as well for Daniel and Krista this morning, that you might help them as Daniel is away in this deployment. And Father, we pray that all the decisions that would be made would be helpful to them, and that you would enable the communication lines to still be open. Father, we pray for our missionaries, the Chiesas, and we thank you for their faithfulness and for the souls that you have given them and for the souls that they're reaching. Father, we pray that you would give them fruit for their labors. Thank you for all that you want to do in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, that God commands us, "Fear thou not." I believe that we ought not to fear for these three great reasons that we find in verse 10. One is the presence of the Lord. Number two, we find here, I believe, is the fact that we need not be dismayed because of who our God is, his person. And the third one, I believe that we need to not fear, is because of the promises that God gives to us. And so we want to look at those this morning in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I believe the presence of the Lord is certainly something that is important for us to understand and how it works in your life. Here Isaiah says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Certainly, the presence of the Lord begins with the Lord Jesus when he becomes your Savior. Now, God is omnipresent. Don't misunderstand that, folks. He's in this world. He's everywhere. He's got everything under his control. But if you want to have the presence of God in your life, you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you fail to do so, you will not have him there. And as a result, you will perish in what the Bible calls hell. But I'm thankful for everyone that comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they have the assurance that God is not only with them in this life, but that someday they will see him in glory and be in his very physical presence. And so that's a wonderful thing, I believe, for us to understand here today. And so that's part of the presence of the Lord, but that's not all. The presence of the Lord also involves the fact that he's not only our Savior, but also our shepherd of our soul. We're thankful that the Lord is the one who goes before us and leads us and takes care of our needs. We are the sheep of his pasture, as Psalm 100 says. And certainly the Lord does that in a very wonderful fashion. We need not fear when the presence of the Lord is going before us. Amen? This is so comforting. And I believe that we need to understand that we need to follow that shepherd. If we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord, we not only need to know that he is our shepherd going before, but also that we are in a right relationship with him and following him, that we might enjoy that presence. Number three, I believe the presence of the Lord becomes more intensely a part of our believer's life as he or she submits to him as their sovereign. In other words, if we are really going to have all that God wants to have in his presence in our life, We have to surrender to the will of God. We have to say, yes, Lord, if that's what you say you want for my life, I am willing to follow you in that way. And then I believe there's going to, as we've said, the presence of the Lord becomes a reality of sight. And I think of what David said in Psalm 17, in verse 15. He says that he would be satisfied when he would awake in the presence of the Lord in glory. And what a wonderful thing that is, the satisfaction that we have in our Savior as well. Certainly, the Savior's presence as our Savior, we want to look at that just briefly. And I think one of the verses that explains how that God's presence is in every believer so well is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. It says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Certainly, this morning, I can invite folk here in this auditorium today to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as they, if they have not already done so. That's important. And yet, the Bible speaks of a calling here in this verse, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, that is a specific calling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ knocking at the heart's door, and he says, you are the one that must open that door. Jesus doesn't barge into anybody's life, but he does send his Spirit to call and to convince us of our need of a Savior. That is so vital. And when we answer that call, we know that the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he became what? A child of God, will become a child of God. And we're thankful for that. And so that is the difference, I believe, between a general call and a specific call. And thank God for the conviction of the Spirit and his regeneration that we might have the Lord in our life. And so we're grateful for that. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is in pass from death unto life. It goes on and it talks beyond the call, and it says that we would also be justified, in other words, declared righteous. We would have Christ's righteousness, not our own righteousness, when we receive him as our Savior, and that someday we will be glorified with him. And I believe, as we look at the shepherd part of his presence in our life, Psalm 23 is certainly a wonderful psalm in that regard. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That has always stuck with me. To think of not having a want. Now, God's promised to supply our needs. But David says, I shall not want. People that don't have a want are contented people. Amen? We can be content knowing that our Savior has all that we need and even can supply those things that we have find necessary in life. And so Psalm 23 starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But how does it end, folks? Surely goodness and what? Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so the shepherd takes us from the beginning point of salvation clear up into the time that we will see Jesus Christ as our Savior. The shepherd never leaves us. He's always going before us. Certainly, we can thank God for his mercy and his presence that assures us the destination of heaven. The sovereign, I believe, is the Lord who controls all things. You know, The scene in America with morality, the scene in America with the leadership that we have sometimes causes us to wonder. Now, I'm thankful for the ones that do lead rightly. Amen? And we can be thankful. But there are many who do not. And as a result of that, it seems as though there is a mixed report about religion in America. Some say it's declining. But I heard a report this week that actually people since COVID have had an interest in religion. Now, they need more than an interest in religion. They need Jesus Christ, amen? And they need the gospel. And that is our task today. And so I'm thankful that the sovereign God who is still in control is still at work in hearts and lives here in America. And we need to pray that God will give a harvest yet, and even maybe a mighty revival. We talked about the king that was on the scene here, Hezekiah. Did you know that Hezekiah, during his reign as king, there was almost an explosive revival that took place? Things that have not been happening, the Passover, the temple worship, and all of these things, they happened again because God was in control and he knew those things. But then he allows the enemy to come in. Isn't it many times after a great revival we are tested? And I believe that certainly we may be being tested in America today, but let's remember our God is in control and that we can trust him and acknowledge his presence at all times. And certainly we're thankful for that. Now, I want to move on to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second great reason that we can not have to fear and be afraid in a world that is in turmoil, and that is that we would know the person who is speaking here. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Have you ever been overwhelmed? Life looks just like it's just too much. And maybe everything's coming at you all at once, and you say, how can I control these things? How can I handle these things? Well, I believe at that point, we need to know who our Lord and Savior is. And when we know who he is, we will not fear. We will not be afraid. We have a God who is almighty. He is the infinite God-man. The one who is 100% God and 100% man. One who not only is almighty, powerful God, but also the one who can understand us because he walked the face of this earth and experienced all that we did. And certainly, we can thank the Lord for that. Jesus Christ's person is wonderful beyond the limited words that we have. Perhaps you viewed a part of the Lord's creation and your response in awe as you look at the scenery, the landscape, and you say, God has done such a wonderful thing. There's a plaque that hangs in our living room. And I think many of you saw it at our 50th anniversary. But many, O Lord God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. And it goes on in that verse, and it says, they are more than can be reckoned up in order to thee. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee, because they're too many. If I should declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Praise God for that. And so we need to know some things about our Lord, who he is. Number one, he is our sinless, holy, high priest. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Sinless, holy, high priest. One who recognizes all of the needs that we have and that he handles them in a holy, just way, and that he never once sinned, so that we know that we have a substitute who can be a go-between between us and God. This is marvelous, that our Lord is our holy high priest. The Lord opens the door of the throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 as our high priest. He is our intercessor in John chapter 17. The Lord Jesus is our advocate in 1 John chapter 2. And the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You know, we would have a lot to fear if our sins were not forgiven and underneath the blood, wouldn't we? And certainly we're thankful that that is not true. As believers, we know that Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse us from all sin. Then I believe certainly we need to know that he is also the Lord who is omnipotent. The Lord is so powerful that he is the key to heaven for all who will come to him in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." Certainly thankful for that. The Lord Jesus is the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto salvation." The Lord Jesus is the living word of God and has the final word in the written word of God in the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, as he speaks to the churches. And that written word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's amazing if you look in Revelation 1 who our Savior is, as he is enthroned in glory. He is powerful. And certainly the Lord Jesus keeps us secure by the power of his hand in John chapter 10 and verse 28. Folks, when I know that I'm in the hands of the Lord, I need not be afraid. And thank God for that. The Lord is unchanging, immutable. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." He never changes. He is the stable rock that we stand on in the storms of life. I remember when Carla and I were in our seminary days, we had a pastor who was a chalk artist, and he would have those special lights and so on. And he did a picture of a great storm coming in to the beach. And then he had a big rock there. And when the light went on, you saw that it was Jesus standing on the rock with his own people. And folks, we need to thank God every day that we have a God whom we can go to knowing who he is and that he will never change. Certainly, the Lord Jesus is a love of the highest order as well. He has that agape love that Pastor Smith has talked about. The love of the Lord Jesus is seen in that he laid down his life for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, it wasn't just that he suffered the pain, that he suffered the rejection, that he went there on a mission to fulfill it. And that mission included the fact that he took upon himself, and in what must have been even more painful than all of the suffering he had on that cross, when he took on the sins of the whole world. Folks, does sin hurt? Does sin go deep? We ought to have a consciousness of this. How much Jesus Christ means to us. The love of the Lord Jesus was one that he loved us when we were enemies. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And certainly the love of Jesus Christ constrains and sustains his ambassadors for him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us. It says in the Bible, that word constrain is that which holds the life together. Certainly, the love of the Lord Jesus enables us to be more than conquerors and makes it impossible for us to be separated from God in Romans 8, 37 and 39. Nothing shall separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. But I believe there's also the promises that God gives to us. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, and that is the third reason we need not fear. He says, I will strengthen thee. He says, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. First promise. He says, I will strengthen thee. Can we do anything without God's strength? If we do, we'll fall flat on our face. Jesus said, without me ye can do, how much, folks? Nothing. John 15:5. Paul said something the opposite way. And many times this verse is quoted without two words. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Many people say, I can do this. Carla and I have reached out to a certain person, and this person has the idea that he can somehow accomplish anything because of his efforts. But over and over again, we remind him that it's only through Christ. And I was amazed what God did this week for that person. Certainly, it takes humility to recognize our weakness and to depend on the Lord in the challenges of life. And when you humble yourself, you will find the grace of God sufficient for all that you need. Certainly, I'm thankful that God has promised that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He says, and he, God, said unto me, speaking of Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. And Paul's reply was, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities that the what? The power of Christ may rest upon me. Certainly, we need God's strength if we're going to accomplish anything for his glory. And I'm thankful for Christ's power is our strength. And another person asked me this week, tell me about the power of God. How do I get it? You have to humble yourself, or you won't have the grace. And you won't have the strength of the Lord. And there was a king by the name of King Hezekiah, who was probably the best king in Judah, that had to learn that the hard way because God had to humble him. He got pretty cocky when God had blessed him and God had killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and he began to do things in the temple and so on and so forth. And so then he says, I'm going to show this off to the world. And he invites Babylon in. And God says, I will humble you. Folks, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. May we remember that God wants to strengthen us, but we have to be in a position to receive that strength. That person that we were talking to this last week, I said, you know, if you really want to know the power of God, you have to be in a right relationship with him. Isn't that true? Many times we have the relationship, but we don't have the fellowship because we're not walking with him. And we become proud. We think we can handle this when we may not be able to handle anything without him. And so, the second promise that the Lord gives, he says, yea, I will help thee. When our daughter had cancer, I used to look at her and say, what's the favorite part of that verse for you? And she'd look at her daddy and she'd say, Daddy, I like the part that says, I will help thee. And that is so true. God is able to help us because he is the God-man. And Hebrews 4:13 invites us to come to him as our great high priest. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to what? To help in time of need. Help comes through prayer and relying on God's promise to help in time of need. I want us to take, I think I have time to do this, to turn back to the Psalms. And I want us to look in Psalm 23 to begin with, and then we'll end up. Pastor had a Bible study, I believe it was, in Psalm 42 not so long ago, and I became very intrigued with Psalm 42 after he had that Bible study. But in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the what? The still waters. That's our peace. He restoreth my soul. Okay? Remember that. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art what? With me. There's the presence of God. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Folks, there it is. When you're overwhelmed, when the enemies surround you, he says, I am there to prepare a table. Wouldn't you like to have been inside of Jerusalem when 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army woke up dead? What a day that must have been. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of life. But I want us to go back to verse 3. He says, he restoreth my soul. David was a shepherd. He knew about sheep. And I don't know how many of you have ever had Philip Keller's book. He was a rancher out west, took care of sheep and so on. And that word for restore has the idea of what we find in Psalm 42. So let's turn over there to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And verse 5 says, why art thou cast down? Okay? The shepherd, he wants to restore the sheep that is cast down. It wasn't until I read Philip Keller's book that I understood what it meant to be a cast sheep. How many of you have been around sheep? Okay. Sheep can get in trouble so easy. And if there's not someone watching for them, when they get in trouble, they are in bigger trouble because the predators will come after them. Now, a sheep can be a cast sheep, because they're carrying young. And they go off in some soft place and lay down, and their body weight, the weight transfers the balance off, and their feet go straight up in the air. Or a sheep may go out and has long wool on it that probably needs to be sheared, and it has all kinds of things that have got in that wool coat, and it weighs it down, and it lays down, and its feet are kicking straight up. And the shepherd has to come and rescue that sheep, or the predators will get it, or the sheep will die before long. And so when David said, he restoreth my soul, he's talking about what was happening in Psalm 42. Many believe that it was Hezekiah that wrote Psalm 42. Certainly, he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? I hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The help of his countenance. Now, we get down to verse 11. It's the opposite side. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. Do you see the difference between verse 5 and verse 11? This one that we're talking about in verse 5, when God restores the cast soul sheep, he is saying that it's because of his countenance that we can be straightened up. But when he does, our countenance will change as well. And I love that hymn that we sang this morning. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There is light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That was true of King Hezekiah. He faced four major problems in his life at this point. When things went bad, when he became proud, his plans had not been fulfilled. His feelings and tears had not been relieved. And his questions had not been answered, and his enemies were taunting him. And that all changed when Hezekiah saw God as his hope, his loving kindness, and saw the countenance of his Lord. When we have God in the picture, it gives health to us. Someone wrote a little quatrain that is really neat. It says, yesterday, God helped me. Today, he will do the same. How long will this continue? Forever. Praise his name. The Lord is my helper. I need not be afraid. But one more promise, and that is the Lord's promise, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And certainly God's right hand of righteousness is that which upholds a person. Christ's righteousness is the key to heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God the Father, for he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you will only be in heaven if you're standing in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Certainly, Christ's righteousness is also clearly seen in facts that he is our good shepherd. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd, when we're following him and his leading in the paths of what, folks? Righteousness. For his name's sake. You know, some people, the Lord leads them in the paths of righteousness and they begin to think, I did this. No. It's for his name's sake, not our name's sake. Amen? God always knows what is best for you and will lift you up as you faithfully follow him. And I'm so thankful for that. Psalm 61:2 says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so it is God that lifted us up out of the miry clay, as Psalm 40, verse 2 says, and has put us upon that rock that we might have stability and that we might have peace in the midst of the storm. I would say this morning, we all need to learn to trust the Lord's presence, the Lord's person, and the Lord's promises, and not be overwhelmed with the difficult burdens and the anxiety that has climbed to a new high level. We can do that when we know the Lord's presence, the Lord's person, and the Lord's promises. As we also sang this morning, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Only when you have Christ as your personal Savior, where you have the Lord's presence, person, and promises in your life, both now and all through this life and forevermore. I trust that you'll go in this coming week and remember what the Lord has done for you, that you need not be afraid. Heavenly Father, our hearts are overwhelmed when we consider all that the Lord has done for us. Truly, his works are wonderful. And his thoughts toward us, even when we're cast sheep, picks us up and helps us to stand on the stable rock. Father, I pray that you might be with our dear pastor and his family and help them to recover well. And help us as a congregation to support them and to lift them up day by day. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us as those that are the sheep of his pasture. In Jesus' name, amen.